Three, two, one, ghost. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 3-2-1 Ghost. I'm your host with the silent G, Kyle. And as always, joined by my pal, my confidant, my podcast co-host. I don't know. What would you call it? Are we like a coven mate? Am I even allowed to be in a coven?
Coven mate is weird. And I thought you needed more than two people to have a coven.
Well, yeah, I guess you need at least four, right?
I would think at least three.
Hmm.
We have some research to do.
Well, hey, Natalie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Y'all know we're born in the late 80s. We grew up in the 90s. Of course, we're always going to be partial to 90s horror. Do you think it's the best decade for horror? Yeah. I mean, my heart says yes, right?
Yeah, my heart says yes.
So I'm especially excited today to talk about, I'd say, a cult classic from the 90s. We are talking about 1996's Andrew Fleming directed The Craft. Starring, of course, we've got our industry legend, Neve Campbell.
Hell yeah.
We also have an industry legend, Skeet Ulrich, in this too.
That's true.
And rounded out with some really fucking like 90s heavy hitters. You've got Robin Tunney, Rachel True, Firouza Balk. Fuck, you got Breckenmeyer just always hanging around, just perennially just always in high school, just bopping
every
around.
High school movie. Like, how long did he play a high school student for, I wonder? Like 15 years?
Yeah, probably at least up until a few years ago. I hope he does have that kind of boyish charm to him, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. This movie is directed by Andrew Fleming. Like I said, he has a couple credits that I'm familiar with. He did a movie after this called Dick with Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst, which I have not seen, but I've heard really nice things about. You seen it?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but I remember it being pretty fun.
I saw one movie he directed with Steve Coogan, I think his name is, called Hamlet 2, which it was okay. I don't really remember much of it. I think it's one of those movies where the premise is probably the best part of the movie.
Oh, that's the worst.
So the execution isn't quite there, if I remember right, but it's been a really long time since I've seen it. So this movie's a cult classic. I am curious your feelings towards this movie. And I don't know, anything off the top of your head you want to share?
I have a lot of feelings towards this movie. I watched it a lot as a kid, and I'm pretty sure that I watched it the year it came out, but not in the theater. Gosh, I feel like any little girl or teenage girl that was growing up in the 90s definitely saw this movie and relates to it in one way or another, because these girls kind of represent this like alternative, not popular, but not quite like dorky. Like, they're just kind of outcasts. And I think that like a lot of people, a lot of young girls like could relate to that. So I really enjoyed this movie as a younger girl. Rewatching it as a full grown woman, it is a little harder to watch because a lot of their decision making doesn't feel right to me and their maturity level is zero. So I have mostly good feelings towards this movie, but watching it from a woman's perspective versus a girl's perspective, like as a girl, you kind of look at them like heroes, but not as an adult. How about you?
Oh, here, geez, gosh, here I am thinking like, no, I get it. They're making that girl's fucking hair fall out and shit. I'm like, well, that's, you fucked around and you found out, you know.
Just no,
like
there's fucking, definitely there's things I agree said, with.
But, you know, what goes around comes around, right? So, but I hear you. I saw this movie. For some reason, I thought it came out earlier than 1996. That's a hell of a year for Neve Campbell. Because this was like in May of 96. Scream would be at the end of this year. So it was like almost like kind of like, hey, let's put her and Skeet Ulrich in side characters just to prep the world for what's to come, you know?
Yeah.
For that fucking right hook that's coming later on. And So I watched this movie after Scream because I was probably just, as a as any 9-year-old would, just clamoring to find content with the cast of Scream, Yet I still never watched Friends, which is very, well, I mean, now, like recently, I've been watching it a lot because my wife's been putting it on when it's on like HBO or whatever. But so yeah, it's funny. I don't know, whatever. So I watched this early on when I was a kid and thought it was fine. I always remember like certain parts of it, generally towards the end, because I just remember it like being stormy and her running around the house and it's always like snakes and bugs and shit,
It's very memorable because there's just a lot of like very visceral human fears happening in that last act.
Probably since then, I would say that's actually the last time I saw it all the way through. It was probably when I was like 9 years old. And then I just feel like it was like always kind of on TV from time to time. So I would always just like have it on as I'm like skipping through some other things. So like really, watching it yesterday and today are my first, real actual dedicated watches in what, nearly 30 years, since it came out.
Yeah, I also think it's important for me to get this out of the way so that I don't say it over and over again as we're going through, because I realized it came up a lot in my notes. The other thing that's really important to note about this movie is the fashion, because these girls are wearing school uniforms and they're managing to make them look so fucking cool. Like everything they wear is so good. So I think for a lot of girls, a lot of women, even like I still look at this movie and I'm like, ooh, what can I take from this? And like, where? It's very inspiring in that way, too.
I was going to bring that up later in my notes, where I'm like, for a place that requires school uniforms, one, they don't even require you to wear them because you just, if they haven't shown up in the mail yet, you can still just show up a day early and wear them, like, or not wear
Happens in
them,
real
like
life.
Sarah. Is that, what's the point of having the
Yeah.
uniforms if they're going to be so loosey-goosey about it?
If you just started and you don't have your uniform, you don't want to miss like more days of school. It seems like they're loose with these uniforms, though. Like they can just wear black and white, it feels like, as long as they're wearing the bottoms.
Well, it's like if you're working, for a lot of jobs, they're just like, hey, just bring some black pants and black shoes. That's all you
Yeah.
need. I would think that you show up and they have at least some like loaners, like have gym loaners, right? They'd have just loaner
Oh,
uniforms.
yeah. Okay. That's fair.
What kind of poverty private Catholic school is this? So, and even then, when people, I really have opinions on this. When people
Yeah.
are wearing their uniforms, like you said, they're very broad and they're just like, well, technically you're wearing the clothes that you're supposed to wear. You can alter them however you want.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they chose to have this in a Catholic school because it's not relevant at any point in the movie, really. Like,
They're at mass like once, but like it has nothing to do with the
it
plot.
has, yeah, there's nothing to do with the plot, and the teachers aren't giving them a hard time for being fucking witches. So, like, what I don't understand why it's at a Catholic school, and I had never thought about that before. And the other thing I was thinking is, like, okay, if Nancy's such trailer trash, how is she affording to be in this private Catholic school? Where'd that come from?
Well, clearly, what's her mother's name? Grace.
Yeah, I love Grace.
Grace is awesome.
Love Grace.
I just wrote down Grace in 5 stars next.
I have five booze for Grace.
Yes, yeah, she's a five boo character, but you can tell later that she is not a very responsible spender. So
No.
when she's like trying to pay bills and they're like living in a place that's got literally, they're just lying there letting just rain fall on them, like, but they're paying whatever that tuition is. But I don't know, maybe
Yeah.
there's some sort of scholarship situation. I think,
True,
I
true.
don't know.
Yeah.
So want to hop into this movie?
Let's do it.
We are introduced real quick to some coven summoning situations going on right into the credits, where we have who are we introduced to? We got Firouza Balk, who plays Nancy. We've got Rachel True, who plays Rochelle. And then Neve Campbell, who plays Bonnie. I'm going to be so good with these names today. I'm
You're
feeling
doing great
really
so
good.
far. Good job.
Thank you. And then Robin Tunney, who plays Sarah, who is moving from San Francisco to Los Angeles with her father. I think we learn early on that her mother has passed, and there was a suicide attempt from Sarah. So I think they're just starting new, starting fresh. They got this beautiful house in LA.
Gorgeous house. Like five booze for that house.
It's a nice house. I was trying to look up and see. I was like, I swear I've seen this house in other movies, but I couldn't find anything. So,
It didn't look familiar to me.
yeah. So maybe I was just like, oh, that's the house from The Craft. I'm just seeing it again 30 years
There it
later.
is.
There it is. So, and then also, I barely remember, and I just watched this movie again. We see her stepmother, right? Or do we not?
Yes, we
Okay.
do, but she's like neither of the parents are really formally introduced. The only parent we really meet is Nancy's mom.
Right.
Because it's so essential to like Nancy's character.
But at least you've got some scenes where, like, the dad drops her off at school and it's just like, hey, are you feeling comfortable about this? You see, after Chris dies, he's there comforting her a little bit.
True.
And he's there at the end when, Rochelle and Bonnie are doing their, like, kind of final whatevers and the tree
Their
branch falls
half-assed
on them.
apology.
Their half-assed bullshit apology. Fuck them. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but so I just, yeah, like watching again, I was like, I don't even remember her. I could not remember what her face looks like, but she's barely in the movie. And then you're told maybe she dies in a plane crash.
Yeah, I didn't understand even the point of the stepmom if it wasn't going to be like a point of conflict for anybody.
New city, new school. We're more formally introduced to our three other witches. Like I said, that's Bonnie. I said I'm gonna be good with these names. Bonnie, Nancy, and Rochelle. You're also introduced to Skeet Ulrich, who plays Chris, who it's weird seeing him as this kind of wannabe jock in this movie, because
Yeah, it's such a shift from Billy.
and I'm just like, see, and like again, watching this movie, it's like I bet I if I was the casting director for Scream. Again, these movies, who knows? They were probably filmed maybe kind of close to each other. So who knows if this actually could be like this? But you're watching The Craft and seeing him in this. I'm just like, ah, can I just tweak this a little bit and just give him a better haircut? Like,
Oh yeah, much better haircut. Isn't it sad that that greasy ass long haircut that he has in Scream is so much hotter than this haircut?
yeah, give him a tattered white t-shirt and get him out of all those jackets and football pads.
Well, also,
We can make this work.
he has a very creepy smile, like even when it's not meant to be. So it works really well for the character of Billy. But in this movie, like he's still a piece of shit, but he's a different kind of piece of shit. So he should have a more charming smile to me. And I think Skeet Ulrich, like, that's just one thing that he ha does not have for me. His smile makes me think that he's up to something always.
I would hate to be a teacher in some rich ass private school because I feel like the kids have this like extra sense of entitlement. I'm going to be making a lot of
Oh, me
assumptions about
too.
private schools, by the
Yeah.
way, because I've never been to one. First of all,
Yep.
fucking public school forever. Support your public
Absolutely.
school districts. Come on, private school, turning kids into weirdos. Come on, what are you doing? So they'll turn into witches, is basically the moral of this story. Or
Yeah, I mean,
sexual assaulters,
there's a good track record for that, so.
Ugh. But yeah, I'm just thinking in this French class, just like having to put up with like
Ugh.
Breckenmeyer being such a dipshit, and this French teacher just being like, I bet he like I would be saying some quick shit under like in French under my breath of
All of
like,
these kids
fuck these
are
kids, have you
terrible.
fucking,
They're all terrible people.
it's so bad. But you do have Sarah in this class, and then you've got Bonnie who's watching her, seeing her do
Yeah,
this little
showing
trick
that
with that
Sarah's got
pencil.
power on her own without the rest of the group.
So Bonnie runs over to the others and she's like, hey, fuck, we've been trying to start some witchy shit. I think we've got a real
Yeah,
fucking witch
I
at the
found
school.
one.
She did a pencil trick. She made it stand. I like how just magic is, well, I guess you can use it to kill people, but it's really like magic, like in the sense of witchcraft magic is like a Vegas magic too. It's just like, oh, we're gonna.
For them at first, it is very much Vegas magic. Just changing your hair color and your eye color, that'd be enough for me. Like, how exciting. I wouldn't need to like
Yeah.
have what is his name? Manu?
Manon, Manon, Manon. I don't
Whatever
know.
his like he doesn't need to come inside me, which is very hey, they
Chris.
use very descriptive language that kind of we'll get there. But I would just love to, I'd be like, you know what, today I want green eyes. That'd be fun.
Chris talks to Sarah at lunch and is like, oh yeah, those ladies over there, they're totally witches. Which I like the fact that it's like pretty
Yeah.
much just common knowledge. Like, or at least if they are practicing this stuff, they're this is what they're about, this is what they go
And
do.
nothing about Chris is attractive, which right off the bat makes me question Sarah's judgment because other than the way he looks, everything he says is so shitty. I love that he asks her if she's doing anything later and she says, no, like I have no plans. He's like, oh, well, I'm busy, football practice. And I'm like, ew. Ew, Chris. He's the worst right off the bat.
I in high school, I knew better to not make a girlfriend sit through band practice, which would be my equivalent, you know. Now I've seen band members'
Guess who?
girlfriends sit there and I feel bad for them. Yeah. It's probably how we met. And I'm like, yeah, and I think I just remember just, you know, playing my, you know, sweet smoking fucking leads and being like, I mean, like, oh, that poor girl. I'm
Yeah, it
sorry.
was pretty rough.
The girls who were initially kind of not like, yeah, were initially pretty rude to her, kind of re-engage her, and they're like, hey, yeah, remember when we were kind of shady back there in biology? We're sorry.
It's
We're witches. Would you like to join us?
well, there's a couple things in this scene that really bother me and I think are really telling. One of them being that Rochelle apologizes on Nancy's behalf right next to Nancy.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that doesn't feel like a genuine apology, it's having someone else apologize on your behalf. And what it reminds me of, and I don't know if this was intentional, because Nancy gives toxic, like
Regina George
toxic
vibes.
female energy in the way that she doesn't support other females. Like she's never happy for someone else doing well. She's jealous and she's bitter. And so Rochelle apologizing for her almost feels like a wife apologizing for her son or husband's behavior, which happens a lot. So Nancy gives me like masculine energy in a really negative way. And throughout this film, I think that like carries through. So I just wanted to call that out.
Is there really a positive masculine energy, really?
I think there can be.
Oh,
Like
thanks.
I think there can be, but it's definitely more
I
few and far between. But
appreciate that.
like for Nancy, it's this power hunger that like feels very masculine to me.
That coupled with, you know, Neve Campbell, who's, you know, also being nice, but like, you know, again, she's wearing like a lot of clothes. You know, you can, you know, learn that she's covering her scars, but she's also kind of, you know, kind of
Yeah.
hiding a little bit, you know, behind her too. It's like it definitely, you're right, like shows
Yeah,
the
it's
power
very
dynamic
clear.
of the
And
three of them.
Sarah shakes that up.
So they're like, hey, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Do you want to come steal some shit with us?
Sure.
And then Sarah's like, okay. She's very forgiving both to this
To
group and
everyone.
then also to Chris, and continues to be throughout. So they go to this kind of like Wiccan dark magic shop. I've been in a couple of these before.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We went to that one in Seattle.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I love shops like this. I go to them often.
So then we meet this shop owner. I forget her name.
Me too.
Okay.
She's
But
very nice to them, considering she knows they're shoplifting every time they come in. I'd be like, you need to get the fuck out of my store.
I mean, yeah, I think there's just that maybe inner battle of like, hey, don't steal my shit. And also, by the way, like, Don't steal from a small business. You want to go steal from a
Yeah,
fucking Target? Go
sure.
fucking go for it.
Go
Who
for it.
cares?
Yeah.
They got so much insurance. You know, they're no one's losing sleep over that. But come on, let's don't fuck with small businesses here.
Yeah. And she's a witch.
Yeah. I hope she owns that building, by the way, because I think her landlord would be surprised to find out what's going on in that back room.
Yeah, I agree.
So, so they go to the shop and the shopkeeper says pretty early on, you know, recognizes that Sarah is a natural witch. I guess you can learn the way of the witch, or you can just be born witchy.
Yeah. Do you think Nancy is born witchy or she learned it versus
I think she
Sarah?
learned it.
I think so too. And I think the same for Bonnie and Rochelle.
Definitely for those two. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe if anybody. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe natural born witches aren't as susceptible to like that thirst for power, I suppose. I don't know. That people learning to
Maybe.
be witches can be, that you'll see with Nancy. I don't know. Also, one thing I totally forgot. When Sarah's moving into the house, this random dude shows up with a snake and starts yelling at her. The dad shoos him away. I think you're supposed to be led to believe that this guy's homeless. You know, he's wearing tattered clothes, you know. But yeah, he's like holding a snake, yelling some shit at her.
His, what
But
he's
it's,
yelling, I think, is super important.
I forget, what does he say?
So imagine this guy comes to your door, you open the door, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? He's got a snake. Because you see him, there's actually a really good shot that I never noticed before. You can see him entering through the doorway in the mirror before you actually get a full shot of him, which is really cool. But, anyways. He makes his way through the door, and then as soon as she gets scared, he yells, "What's the matter with you?" And I think that's such an interesting and funny thing. And I'm assuming it's intentional because I can't tell you how many times
Someone's yelled that at you.
someone comes, but no, like a man being in your space doing something uncalled for or weird,
Yeah.
and then asks, "What's the matter with you? Like, why are you upset? Why are you sad? Why are you scared?" So I thought that was a really interesting thing that he immediately says after walking into her home without being invited with a fucking snake in his hand. Also, like, the snake is super phallic too. So, like, maybe I'm overthinking it and giving the movie way too much credit, but that's what popped into my head.
I love it. I'm here for it. Yeah, and not only, and when we say snake, like capital S snake, because this thing is like a giant fucking thing. Now,
It
like
looks
later when he's running
expensive.
across the street, yeah, I know. Like
What pet shop did he steal that from?
he should sell that snake. Because later, because he returns and while they're walking through Los Angeles. And he runs across the street, runs after them, but he's got a way tinier snake this time around. Maybe
Yeah,
because it's cold out.
downgraded.
So he runs into the middle of the street, keeps yelling some shit, and then of course gets hit by a car. A very bloodless death, given that like you see him like roll under
Oh,
the
yeah.
tires and his skull go
He
under the
got
tire.
crushed.
Yeah. Now I do think that it's a little much for the four of them who regroup afterwards to be like, did we do that? Because I really wished for it to happen and it happened.
Okay. I'm curious to hear what you think about this because I think that they had nothing to do with it and it was all Sarah. And they're having that, you know how like it'll happen a lot with kids where they just like convince themselves that like something happened because they all thought it or like they all saw it because one kid says it and the other convinces the other. I don't think they had anything to do with it. Like I'm fully convinced that at this point, Sarah's the only one with real power.
Well, at this point, and maybe actually,
Maybe
I
through the
don't
whole
know.
movie. Well, Nancy ends up having power.
But I don't think Sarah even did that. Like, he's standing in the middle of the road. Like, so when they're like, oh gosh, I totally wished for a car to hit him. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's a very likely thing to happen if you're standing in the middle of a very busy street waving
That's
snakes around.
true. I mean, that's true too. And they're in LA, so like people be driving crazy in LA.
Yeah, no one's waiting.
No.
Sarah hints at her powers and says, like, okay, so maybe I've had some powers for a while, but it's usually like, some like monkey's paw bullshit where I'm like, oh, I want it to rain, but then it floods my fucking room. Or,
She gives these examples of she feels something, she wants it to happen, she thinks about it, and it's not exactly what she wants it to be.
yeah.
But what I think is interesting about this too, and this is just like this ongoing thing, 'cause I think a lot of people view this as kind of like a female sisterhood like narrative. And I might like mention the new one 'cause it is terrible and I don't think anyone should watch it, but
I've not seen it.
don't. So when Sarah's walking through this, Bonnie and Rochelle are both like, wow, like that's amazing. They're like dazzled by it and they're excited by her like abilities. And Nancy's like, whatever, like I don't believe that, and is very dismissive and seemingly jealous. And it's this
Lime green jello.
event. Yeah, exactly. Eventually, Rochelle and Bonnie, they switch to Nancy's side, but like right now, like they're like hyping her up and building her up and they're getting excited by this, whereas Nancy is viewing this as a threat or as something that she wants and is working hard for. And Sarah's like, oh, gee, golly gosh, it just kind of happens to me. Feels like privilege versus working hard for what you want.
You're literally describing Mean Girls.
Oh yeah, I guess a little bit.
A redhead white girl shows up to the new school.
Maybe it
This
was an
very selective
inspiration.
group of girls, right? And they all start liking the new girl better, right? Of course, Regina George gets. So I don't know. Maybe Tina Fey was just taking notes. She was like, basically, it was just like, how can we make a, I don't know, just craft without the witch stuff? I don't know. Let's see. So they go their separate ways. Sarah connects with Chris again. This is when they're on some rooftop, which I guess is one of the popular makeout spots, because I
There's
think
a few.
Breckenmeyer, no, not Breckenmeyer, the other guy. Yeah. They kiss for a little bit. Skeet's like, hey, let's go back to my parents' house. No one's home. She's like, I'm good, dude. Not just yet. Like, I've literally been in the school for one day.
Yeah. And everything about him is so unappealing at this point. So he's lucky he even got her up on that roof, honestly.
And then what the fuck, right? The next day, now rumors going around that not only did they have sex, but she's the shittiest lay he's ever had. Why do you have to add that on? Why couldn't you at least say, like, okay, I'm gonna lie, but I'm gonna say you were fucking incredible?
Why
I think it's
not?
still a bad idea. Don't do it
Don't
either way.
lie.
Let me just say that. But
But if you're
at least,
going
why did
to,
you?
yeah.
Yeah,
Because then at
so
least maybe
whatever.
he'd still have a chance with her. I mean, he kind of does, but
Yeah.
yeah. And it also, like, again, the way that the girls react. Like they're really mean to her about it too. Like even when she says it's not true, especially Nancy's like laying it on thick, but they're really mean to Sarah, and Sarah's really bad at sticking up for herself.
And as bad as Chris is, and speaking of laying it on thick, I forgot my regrets to mention other 90s heavy hitter, Christine Taylor.
You did forget Christine Taylor, who's the best villain in this.
Laying it on thick. What a role. Like, she
Oh.
just has to be just a racist piece of shit.
Yeah,
And just
she
like,
plays it
just
so
so
well,
delightfully so. Like
Yeah.
a mustache twirling, like, oh,
Yes.
Oh my God, it's so bad. And I hope people don't remember her too much for this. I did read that this was an added subplot after Rachel True was cast, because I don't think originally the character was black, but they liked Rachel True, casted her, and then kind of
Yeah.
added the subplot, which
It wasn't intended for her to be like she wasn't written as a black character. I did read that too.
So maybe there was bullying from the Laura character, but maybe it wasn't as like racially charged.
Possibly. And I mean,
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing any other black students at this school. So she's like really the minority here. And
And
like,
she's really just open about it. She says it all like out loud,
oh my
and everyone's
gosh,
like,
the
yeah, you
comment
know.
about her hair in the brush,
Yeah.
like when she says that it's a pube and then says, like, oh no, it's just one of Rochelle's little nappy hairs. And I was like, girl, you cannot say nappy, number one, because you are white as all hell. And
So
two,
bad.
like, why? Just why? Just stay away from her if you're that racist. Like, leave her alone, you bully. Oh, she's terrible.
And then still like in the shower with all of her hair falling out and shit, she's like, what did I do to deserve this? And you're like, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not feeling bad. If Rochelle was feeling bad for like half a second, I'd be like, oh no, never mind.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh,
Fuck,
wait,
fuck her.
I do remember exactly what you did to deserve this.
This is part of kind of hopping between each of the girls just to kind of see the shit that they're dealing with. You of course go to Bonnie. You learn that you have these scars. I don't know if they say exactly where how these scars happen. They look kind of like burn scars, but I don't know. I don't know if that's something that.
No, those are definitely burns. She says they say that they're burn scars, but they don't say how she
Oh,
got
okay.
them.
Got it, got it. But I really
I
like I
feel for
said it, at
her.
first like I feel for all of them to be honest, because like you see this. And Neve Campbell sells it like, oh, when they're doing that like needle like procedure and shit, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, she's like a child. And what like, and I just felt for her mom because I'm like, can you imagine like having to like hold your child's hand while they go through like excruciating pain, like
No, I was like, we
just
couldn't have put
to,
any lidocaine cream on her. Jesus. I was like, she's just
right?
sticking those needles into scar tissue like that. Oof.
And it's just like, I don't know. I'd be trying to be like, can we focus on how, like, man, all bodies are beautiful. Let's try to, but it's
Well, I
just so
mean,
hard with a young kid, and
yeah, I
I don't
think,
know, thinking about how they look, it's awful. I just feel so bad.
yeah, teenagers are cruel. Teenagers
Yeah.
are also very vain. So there's that. But then also, this is 1996. So people are also way less accepting of all things that are different. So whether that be like you were born with it or not, I think that's important to note too, because it's really sad, like the way she like covers herself up. And then also like, even, and you see her, Bonnie, change quite a bit as their power progresses. But like in the beginning, like homegirl's not even washing her hair. Like her hair looks chunky, greasy. Like her self-esteem is at an all-time low from these scars
Yeah.
that people can't even see. Like she was wearing a t-shirt and you can't see them from wearing a t-shirt at one point. So it's interesting. Yeah, like they're all dealing with a lot of shit.
You also have Sarah, who we see through a dream, her suicide attempt. And then you also have, you see Nancy coming home to a very abusive situation.
Yes.
It's hard because like obviously it's like, yeah, like an awful, very awful, it's domestic violence, right? And it's just hard because this Grace character is just
Racist.
so kind of like cranked up to 11,
She's
you know?
very
So it's like,
campy. Like her character
yeah.
plays funny.
I gave you the money to pay the bills.
Yeah,
It's something like
it
that.
feels cartoonish a little bit.
Yeah, between her and the Ray character, so I'm just kind of like, but yeah, it's pretty bad. She goes home and just lays in her bed and just gets rained on her face. I'd be like, is there nowhere else to move your head, or you couldn't like just put something
Or could we
somewhere?
just
I don't know.
put some tape maybe on the
I
ceiling?
feel like
Anything?
she was just sitting there, just letting the rain fall on her face. I don't know,
Yeah.
just taking it all in. So the next day they reconvene and they take the bus to the woods, to do essentially their kind of initiation now that they've got all four people. Now, I also read that they had someone who practiced this kind of stuff on set to make sure everything was, legit, I guess. So I don't, and then that being said, I also did not do my research and don't know a whole lot about witchcraft. But they needed four to essentially, and then one person to correlate with each of these elements that they say Manon is, you know, like Manon isn't God or the devil. Manon's the environment, the everything, you know, sun, the trees, the moon, rocks, everything.
But they do refer to it being male.
Yeah, I know, right? So you've got air, who is, I forget. Air is Bonnie.
Bonnie's heir.
Fire is Nancy, makes sense.
Yes.
Water is Rochelle. And then Earth, which is Sarah. But as any Captain Planet fan will tell you, you gotta have heart. And that's, I think, what fucked them up.
I think, you know what? You figured it out.
Yeah, I think Manon is actually Captain Planet.
Love
So Manon has silver skin, red undies, and a green mullet.
that. And for those of you who are too young to know who Captain Planet is, give it a Google.
Yeah, on the hierarchy of like Wiccan gods, it goes Manon and then Captain Planet, and then I don't know who else above that. So. And then they each like kind of essentially like make a wish, because I guess that's how it works too, is that they initiate each other and then all make a wish, you know, like Sarah's like, hey, I want to love and be loved. Bonnie's like, I want to be as beautiful on the outside as I am on the inside. And I'm like, Bonnie, are you that beautiful on the inside?
Yeah,
Because
apparently not, because
apparently not.
she gets real bitchy real fast. But
Rochelle's like, I have one specific bitch
thinking
that
of
I want to
some,
go
I'm thinking of
after.
blonde hair right now. Thinking of fucking Goldilocks. I'm gonna get this bitch just right because she's got it coming. They're not making wishes. They're stating their like. They're manifesting, they're stating their intention. It's different than wishing.
Got it. Okay. Manifest. Yes. Manon's like, I got you. I'm gonna send down some butterflies to let you know that the, you know, the download finished, or that, you know, everything worked out.
Scariest part of the whole
I
movie.
heard you. Oh, what, butterflies? You don't like butterflies?
Yeah. Oh no, sharing this on here. Yeah, I think butterflies are disgusting. And terrifying. And I would rather deal with the tarantulas than the butterflies. They freak me out. They always fly at me. They're like very attracted to me for some reason. And I don't like them. I never have. I'm terrified of them.
I
But
think
that
that's Manon trying to come after you. I think it's Manon trying to like get your attention.
perhaps maybe I'm a natural witch and I just never knew.
I would not be surprised. Also, specifically, I know Sarah said, you know, she's, I want to love, be loved, whatever, whatever.
And she mentions dumbass Chris.
Where does she get this photo? Like I said, she's been in school for like a day and a half. Where does she get this fucking, or like it was like on a Friday and then the weekend. So like I don't know if she's even done a full second day in school yet.
He's popular, maybe like he's in the yearbook and she ripped it out from like the library or something. Do they keep the yearbook in the library? Yeah,
That
they
looked like a
do.
developed photo.
Okay, well, I don't know.
That love spell seems to kind of work, because now he's just kind of staring at her in class. And also being, you know, you start seeing he starts following around a little bit, this and this and this. It's gonna get incrementally creepy.
Before we talk about Chris, Nancy, so I'm confused. I never noticed this before. Nancy wishes or manifests that she wants to have all the power, is what she says. But then later they reference her spell and say that she, Rochelle says, like, I don't know, she wished that she wasn't white trash anymore or something like that. And then she, her, you know, she ends up getting the fortune. But I'm like, so which one was she wishing for?
I think she was just saying something pretty broad, like, you know, just the power of man and
Yeah.
whatever. Just, I want to feel him within me. And then later on, and then maybe just because, you know, each of the girls, like, they were just so focused on just manifesting their own shit for themselves. Maybe Rochelle's like, I don't remember what she fucking said. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Okay.
She probably just didn't want to be white trash or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Back to Chris being a doofus.
So he's being a doofus.
His friends start making fun of him hard as soon as he starts being nice to women.
Yeah, I know.
He's not doing anything
Fucking Breckenmeyer.
embarrassing. He's like holding their books, sitting with them.
They're like everyone, and then of course, Bonnie and Rochelle and Nancy are just like, oh shit, like their fucking spell's working. It hasn't worked for them just yet. And then later on, let's see, like I don't know if they're having like a sleepover or something at someone's house. This is the light as a feather, stiff as a board part.
Very famous scene.
Have you played this game before? Is this a thing that children do?
Yes, I have. That's the other thing that I forgot to mention is that this movie also made all the 12-year-old girls try this game. It does not work this way. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, and we all played this game, and it's very uneventful, but it's fun, kind of spooky.
They're feeling pretty confident after this. They're like, okay, I think we did it. I
That's
think
some
we unlocked
magic.
some, that's some straight up magic, not
Yeah.
very practical magic,
No.
say, but they're feeling pretty good about themselves.
They should.
So they're like, what else? What's some other witchy shit we can conjure up, And then, Rochelle's like, hey, remember, I've got that enemy. I'm gonna go fucking go after her. Let's do that. Sarah's gonna be like, I want to rip off some hair. Once and I've got a plan. So I do appreciate that like these like ancient like texts of magic are still like, hey, do you want to make that bitch's hair fall out? Here's how to do it.
I mean,
You know
that
what I
could be
mean?
scary in any century.
Pettiness knows no. It's evergreen, it's universal, right?
Yeah. So I think what's interesting about Rochelle and Bonnie, so they make these, they state these intentions, and then you've got Sarah very directly, I in my mind, is executing Rochelle's spell for her by taking the hair, braiding it into Rochelle's hair, like that whole process. That feels to me like Sarah's doing all the heavy lifting there. Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely.
But
Because
then,
that's a whole separate spell. But I
yeah.
don't know if they did they do one for Bonnie, like a whole separate spell to make her scars fall off?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is Nancy the one that makes Bonnie's, like, that does Bonnie's spell? Because you remember she's like, she
Right.
wishing her scars away, and that's the only time Nancy seems to show like real empathy for another character, because she's like teary-eyed looking at her, and I
Yeah.
think that maybe because she actually did it from her heart, like that spell worked effectively because it wasn't coming from a place of anger like the rest of her spells.
So racist lore is losing her hair.
Oh,
That in turn makes Rochelle
that's
a
so
much better
good.
diver.
Well, because she feels confident. Like, fuck that bitch.
That's that weird scene with like the swim coach where he's like running over and then like touching her head and be like, oh, your hair's gone, and then like totally gets distracted by Rochelle doing the dye,
Yeah,
and he's
he's
like,
like, damn.
whoa, damn, that's talent. Now we just had to shut up this dumb racist idiot.
Yeah. I
I love
love seeing
it.
her lose her hair. It's so gratifying after she's being fucking racist asshole.
I know Bonnie's scar is going away. Like again in that scene, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. It feels like a
Yeah.
miracle. Those doctors are like, oh my God, this is.
They're like, we're amazing. They had nothing to do with it.
I know. Well, because I'm thinking, like, what happens? Like those doctors, like they're like, no, we need to run more tests because
Yeah.
they literally came off like it was like peeling off like a sunburn or
Yeah.
something, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's totally fine. Like we need, this is a medical marvel.
Yeah. And then they're going to do it on someone else and it's not going to work. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How
Oh no.
disappointing for everybody else.
Very, very disappointing. And they'd be like, oh, you already paid the deposit. Sorry. That's American healthcare. Sorry, buddy. So, and then, I think this is again when Sarah's like, what did Nancy wish for? And Rochelle's just like, I don't know. Whatever. She's doing fine. She'll figure it out.
Yeah. And this is around the time you get their like slow motion hot girl walk, which is really great. They're
Love that.
starting to feel all confident, looking great in their outfits. Like, what
With that
a
Letters to Cleo song.
yeah. Oh yeah, this is such a like 90s ass soundtrack.
This soundtrack is so good. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention earlier on, speaking of the music, when she is at watching football practice, a cover of that Smith song, How Soon Is Now, starts playing, you know? And I was like, what is it with that song and witches? Because it's a theme song for Charmed.
I have a theory that Charmed kind of took that idea from this. Like they were like, "Oh, this is a perfect song about
Song's a
witches."
fucking
Because
banger.
they I'm the sun, I'm the air, like all of that. Like it feels witchy. So,
Is.
yeah, so I mean, I do think Charmed really, really they took it from this. It's fine.
I didn't watch much Charmed, did
Me
you?
no, me either. I couldn't get into it. And people love it. And a lot of people who love Buffy love it.
Well, I mean, and they were both on WB, right? Like they were, I think, really trying to pitch this as a, ooh, let's, and I think it probably even came on after Buffy or before Buffy.
Probably at some point.
Now we're back at the trailer where Nancy lives, and Ray is fucking doing the most. Oh, Jesus. Oh, when he's like fucking like trying to grab at her and shit, like
Ugh,
what the fuck, Ray?
gross.
You're so gross. That's why I'm just like, you
Peace
know, like
out,
when
Ray.
Nancy's
Fuck
like,
you.
when Nancy was like, Ray and Chris deserve to die, I was like, you know,
Yeah.
yeah.
But don't turn on your fucking girls.
Chris maybe a little less so, you know, because he's young. He, you know, like let's help him figure this out.
And he was
But
also under a spell when he did his like most terrible of deeds.
yeah, so Ray, no excuses, dude. Come on. So now Ray is about to attack Grace. Nancy comes out, screams, lightning strikes when she screams, gives Ray a heart attack. He's dead.
Also showing that her magic is very much anger driven.
You know, like I said, when one door closes or one heart stops, another door opens or another heart flourishes, learns to
Sure.
grow, learns to fly. This is really a turning point for Grace in this
Oh,
movie.
Grace.
When Grace learns that not only is she free from the shackles of a fucked up, abusive husband, she also got 175K out of it.
I love that for her.
I guess I don't know. I feel like that is not enough money to sustain, you know, like moving even in the mid-90s, that apartment, that high-rise apartment in Los
Yeah,
Angeles.
I think Grace is gonna blow through that money real quick based off of that jukebox and that ridiculous couch. I'd say she's gonna go through that money real fast.
Yeah, I'd be like, if he had like some sort of like $1 million life insurance policy, then I'd be like, all right, I can reinvest this and make this work and still make some dumb
Yeah, like
purchases.
she needed to put some shit in her savings, get a reasonable apartment. Like we didn't have to go from the trailer park to the penthouse. Like there's an in between. Like there's a cute little apartment waiting for you somewhere, Grace. And then you could have gotten your job, still made money, but I mean, she's not the best decision maker.
She's like, I'm good for her. I'm like, you deserve that couch. You deserve that jukebox.
Oh, Grace. And
I
that
love that.
outfit that she's wearing, like, you know, that outfit is all new, that purple metallic outfit she's wearing.
So at this point, now it's looking like things are just looking pretty sunny for all of them. They meet at Nancy's new apartment. They're changing eye colors and hair color. And just being like, see, look how fun this is. We can just do all the cool shit we want.
That's the best part of the movie when like all their stuff is, you know, happening and manifesting, and they're having a great time.
And you know, like a roller coaster, right? You have your peak, and then you know there's only it's only gonna go one way. Like literally, they are at the top. They're at the like on this high-rise apartment, and it's all gonna be coming down.
Yeah, they give a nice description of it in the magic shop of like that there is no light or dark magic, that it all depends on the person who is using the magic, which I actually really like because I don't think you see that very often in movies or television shows that have witches. Like, it's very often like they reference it as like dark magic versus light magic. So I like that it, you know, that person can, I guess whatever's driving them is what makes it dark or light.
The shopkeeper also mentions that I don't know if this is true, but it's like kind of she calls it the basic spiritual truth, kind of what goes around comes around kind of
Yes.
situation, where not only like whatever you give out, whatever you manifest, you'll receive threefold specifically. So I guess what we learn is, yeah, like three times the scars, three times the hair loss. I don't know,
Well,
but there's that little bit too that we learn.
what feels interesting to me about that is, say you were just if so if you're using your magic for only good and helping others, then in theory, that would then come back to you and good things would happen for you, right?
Well, at first she was saying like, the basic spiritual truth is like, kind of a treat others like you want to be treated, the kind of kindergarten kind of situation, which I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is a, I guess I would call that a basic spiritual truth.
Yeah, but then,
But
so would that mean, because now I'm wondering what would be your motivation to have all these powers? So if you used it just to change your hair color and to like get rid of your scars, but you still stayed a nice person, would that still come back at you in a negative way? Or is it just if you're using it specifically against people for revenge or whatever other, you know, evil purpose?
which at that point would only apply to Rochelle and Nancy.
Yeah.
I mean, like kind of, yeah, Sarah too, 'cause like she, does, she is, he is under a spell. So none of this is consensual, I
No,
guess.
absolutely. Like for Sarah too, like,
Ironically.
yeah, like she's controlling Chris. What I like about this too is that she's giving them a very clear warning, and all of them are like giggling and eye rolling. That's the other thing. The amount of giggling that Rochelle and Bonnie do is fucking obnoxious. They laugh at things that are not funny. Not a time to laugh, not a time to giggle. And I'm like, I don't care what age I was as a young girl, I was not a giggler. So the way that they giggle, that immaturity level that they have is so excruciating to watch. And it doesn't ruin the movie for me at all. It ruins the characters for me. It makes them less relatable. I feel like it makes them seem very foolish, which they are. Like they're playing with things that they can't manage. And we're about to see that really happen now. But young girls with too much power, like this woman's really trying to warn them. And they're just like, fuck off, like just laughing and not taking it seriously. So that really bothers me a lot.
Though at the same time, if this mattered really that much to the shopkeeper, she had the $25 to buy the book to summon Manon. So she's like, I guess I don't care that much because I'm gonna let you do this. So like, she goes on being like, oh, this is dangerous. Y'all are fucking with this. Y'all are not advanced enough to be fucking with, the guy up top. Don't do it.
Maybe she thought they weren't powerful enough to pull it off.
Well, joke's on her because Nancy's like, well, I've got my book. Here's my $25.
We're doing
Everybody, let's go to the pet shop across the street and buy a couple assorted little buddies.
it. Oh, those little
You've got
buddies
like a
didn't make it.
snake. No, a snake, a bird, a fish. What was the other? A butterfly or a moth or something or whatever. There's in that jar
Yeah.
that Neve Campbell's holding. So let's go to the beach. A beach that like looks, I don't know why, just like where the rock formations were. It looks a lot like the beach from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It does a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're like, let's conjure up some shit. And it works.
Very
I
much
think,
so.
yeah. Because now they all kind of black out. They wake up the next morning, all wake asleep on the beach. And you see fucking Nancy just walking on water.
Which is great. It's such a good shot. The effect
Is
looks
really
pretty
good.
good. Well, it was Nancy specifically that was invoking the spirit. Like they were asking for it
Right.
for her. So that's why she ends up being super powerful out of this situation. and the rest of them are kind of just in the same boat,
I
right?
thought that they were like, no, it's for us. But remember, it's like Nancy like says, like, for me, you know? And then Sarah has to be like, us. Or no, maybe one of the other person goes, us, not me, you know? But Nancy was like, no, I want this for myself.
Well, and I think part of, like, from what I know, part of these types of spells, incantations, and all of those things, if one of them is really pushing and willing it so and not doing what the rest of the group wants to do, that's going to throw your shit off. Like, you're all supposed to be in sync for this to work.
Yeah.
So if she's wanting it for herself and she has, that anger charging her, she probably wants it more than the rest of them. So I think that's why Nancy gets that extra power and apparently kills all the fucking ocean wildlife.
I know. Like, literally to the right of them. Like, they're having this whole ass conversation when literally to the right of them, there's a row of dead. There's like a hammerhead shark out there. Like whales and other fucking assorted giant creatures. And you have like I don't know what you call it, like beach patrol, the beach police,
The
and multiple
beach
people
patrol,
that are
beach
down
police.
there. Yeah, the Baywatch crew.
Yes.
So you've got them.
And they're just letting her hug this fucking dead shark.
These are my gifts. She's like a cat that like leaves a dead bird at their owner's front porch and says, "This is my gift. This is for you." You know?
Yeah, she's a mess. Oh, the other thing that's really interesting about before they do this whole spell. Sorry, I keep going back because there's these interesting moments between Nancy and Sarah, and they're so representative of so many female friendships. Like, I'm thinking about like Death Becomes Her and like movies like that. Where Sarah is like super duper vulnerable and shares with Nancy that terrible nightmare, possibly reoccurring, that she has about the snakes. And what I think is so important about that, not that she just, she's like, oh, good, I know she's afraid of snakes. Like, I'm going to use this later. She literally takes like a vulnerable bonding moment and flips it and uses it against her in like the worst possible way. And I think that that is very telling of like why, when women are supporting other women, like there's that vulnerability there, but like you can use other people's weaknesses against them to make yourself more powerful. And again, that's Nancy giving fucking masculine energy. Like, she's doing all the wrong things to bring herself up instead of trying to bring up the group like Sarah does. Like, Sarah's trying to share her gifts and her skills with the group, and Nancy is all self-serving, just using them as minions. And I think she knows that Sarah's not going to factor into what her like ultimate goal is. So she's pretty much just using her.
At this point, she might be like, I don't even need Sarah
Yeah. Oh
now.
no, she
Look
doesn't
at
think she
me.
needs Sarah anymore. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So they're driving pretty recklessly through town. And, but Sarah does call them all out, being like, hey, Bonnie, you used to be fucking cool. Like, what's going
Yeah.
on? And then to be fair, like, Bonnie's just, yeah, again, like, hey, I'm looking good and feeling good.
Yeah.
I want to be out and about. I should not be punished for that. But yeah, this is, I don't know. Yeah, Sarah brings it up, and like now you get that planted in Nancy's head. She's like, I know this isn't going to work out with Sarah for too much longer. We're going to end up having to turn against her if she's
Yeah.
already feeling like she wants out.
Yeah, what did they think
So
was going to happen with this séance? Like,
I don't
I
know.
don't know what they thought the end result would be, but obviously Nancy's just off the rails.
So meanwhile, Chris has been very pushy. Very annoying, showing up in the middle of the night, blowing up her phone constantly. Against her better judgment, she does relent and be like, okay, I'll go out to dinner with you.
I think she feels bad for how insane he's becoming because of this spell.
And she wants to undo it, but the shopkeeper's like, ah, no, you just got to let that one run its course. And I'm like, what does that mean? What do you mean run its course? Like, does it
Yeah, does he have to
just stop,
die?
or does he have to like kill me?
Yeah,
You
like
know,
what
like,
happens?
yeah, when he gets like super obsessive, like, I don't know. So He doesn't take her to dinner. They go and park at the other popular makeout spot, I'm
Yes.
sure. You know, and then Jesus, you know, like, yeah, then he starts fucking making moves. He's being very pushy. She tries to escape. He fucking like sexually assaults her.
Oh,
Like, thankfully, she's
he was
able.
going to fully rape her. Absolutely. You can hear him undoing his belt.
Yeah. So, like, luckily, she fucking kicks the shit out of him, and is able to escape to Rochelle's. She's telling Rochelle and Nancy and Bonnie, who are there as well, what happened. Nancy is like, I'm fucking done. I'm coming after this motherfucker. Because she did share earlier on that her and Chris had a history as well, where she was a victim of his, you know, being, I don't know necessarily like sexually assault, but like, you know, spread some awful shit about her. Or no, maybe he, I don't know.
So,
I forget.
okay, what I've never been super clear on this. Clearly, Nancy has feelings for Chris, and that's part of the other part of the reason why she hates Sarah. So there's like this, there's of course that like male component that's creating a divide between them. But what I've gathered is I think it's true that he created rumors of her being a slut, X, Y, and Z. But when she goes to that party and she's trying to make a move on Chris as herself, as Nancy, she says, "We had some pretty wild times, didn't we?" And he says, "Yeah, I try to forget." So, like, they actually did some shit. Like, I think they were actually like hooking up. And he was, you know, just doing his dumbass lying around school bullshit that he does. So that's what I gathered is that they actually did have a little bit of a history, but he was maybe ashamed of it.
That like witchy black dress
Ah.
and her on her tiptoes just floating across the room,
Those
that works for me.
shoes. The
Yeah.
whole look when she's on her way to that party looking pissed as hell with all the necklaces, the rosaries. Oh,
Yeah.
that she's looking incredible.
They're fooling around. She's fucking with him. He's pretty inebriated. She does the that what do you call it? That kind of like
Glamour.
masking spell, yeah, glamour, right? Where she changes into Sarah, which is a little bit of a, you know, that's pretty dated special
Oh
effect, but
yeah.
I like
Oh yeah, 'cause well
it.
once they cut it and it's just actually the actress that plays Sarah, then like it looks better, but yeah. Every time they did
Yeah.
the glamours, I was like, "Ooh, it looks rough."
So Sarah, Bonnie, and Rochelle go to that party to try and intervene. Sarah makes it upstairs, confronts the two of them who are in bed. Obviously, Chris is very
I
confused
don't like
and
was he
frightened.
roofied, but or is he just shit-faced?
He's just shit-faced, I think.
Okay, because he is like not understanding that one woman just changed into another.
Yeah, he's like barely
Like,
keeping his eyes open. Yeah.
yeah, so I'm like, I really feel like Chris was at the least like a victim of like non-consensual sex, consensual sex, or even I don't know, would you call that assault, rape, because he doesn't even know who he's sleeping with?
Yeah, and he's under a spell, so kind of doubly.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on. Like Chris is real fucked. We didn't think it was going to end well for him at all.
So it, you know, runs its course, because she throws him out a window and he dies.
So, problem solved for Sarah.
Yeah. And Sarah's like, okay. I don't know if I want to be doing this anymore. Though I did. I was like, really, Sarah? Like the next morning, like she's all crying in bed. Her dad's trying to console her and everything. And she still was like, I think he was a really good guy underneath it all.
No.
And I'm like, still, I don't know if that's true
He was a
either.
total
Like, let's
douchebag.
total douchebag. Yeah, under a spell. Yeah, was attacked. Yeah, is dead. I get it. But let's not be playing a violin for Chris. I don't think I was worried about that. So Sarah, like I said, is pretty upset at this point. She unsuccessfully tries a binding spell to she cuts a picture of Nancy out of the group that the photo that they had, uses that to try and do this spell. We learned that it's not working, or at least it doesn't work initially.
And Nancy
Maybe
knew that she was trying to do that spell.
Yeah, because like Nancy's now all on her head and shit at this point, because especially after Chris was killed, Nancy's like, I can't trust Sarah now that she's seen me fucking kill somebody. So you've got her, who really now has the buy-in of the other two as well, coming in, haunting her dreams and shit, showing up, breaking windows, just being real assholes. And they know they're doing it because they taunt her about it, right? They're just like, oh, how are you sleeping lately, huh?
Yeah, that's fucked.
It is fucked. So the next day at school, she's like, I want out. They threaten her. They're like, maybe you need to be fucking dead. How's that feel? You know, maybe you need to be off this fucking planet.
Yeah, they're like, if you turn on your coven,
Yeah.
you might be dead.
So Sarah's like, I'm fucked. And they are haunting me constantly. Which I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I still, unless even with Rochelle and Bonnie, I'd be like, come on. Like, hey, like,
Do we
why do
have to
we?
torture her?
Yeah. What happened with Chris? Tell us, Nancy, you know?
Well, I mean, for all they know, maybe Nancy told them that she killed Chris.
That's
Like
the only
that
thing I could
Sarah killed
figure.
Chris. I don't know that I would believe her.
But like even like later on, like, you know, when they're drawing up like the suicide note and, you know, this admission that Sarah killed Chris, you know, it's like if I were Bonnie and Rochelle, I'd be like, wait, I thought you said she did kill him, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? But Sarah on her own, she makes it back to the shopkeeper and is like, hey, yeah, you know those girls I like showed magic to? They're
Ooh,
really
I
mean.
have a problem now.
Turns out that experience in biology earlier on actually was them. That was their true colors. That yeah, it's a little shitty. So I'm in trouble. But it's so funny. You've got the secret room in the back. It's a lot like, you know, video stores, how they have like their porn section. You got
These
this
don't
black curtain.
exist anymore, Kyle.
Oh yeah, like I said, reference, it doesn't exist anymore.
But in the 90s, it did.
In the 90s, it did. And just like that, in this magic shop, there is a black curtain in the back. They tried to look earlier, but the shopkeeper's like, no. You're
You don't get to go in there.
over 18 only.
And it's just
You know?
candles and a pentagram on the floor.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I mean, like, she's like, hey, this is where the real shit happens. If you really want to fucking summon some shit, here's, you know, fucking Spooky Central, right? So shopkeeper's like, you got it in you. You're fucking, you got a good, you have the heart. You are earth and heart. So you help make the Captain Planet thing work. And you can conjure Manon on your own. I'll help you. Let's do it. Come to the back. Obviously, Nancy's like, no. I know you're gonna try some shit, so I'm gonna throw up some fake fire and explosions to distract you. And then get what's her face to leave. So Sarah escapes and runs back home.
Are we assuming that they're all mentally connected then, if she is in Sarah's head, like after that séance? Because, I mean, Bonnie and Rochelle are playing along, so it's easy for them, but
I guess so.
you'd think that she'd have a connection with all of them and not just Sarah. That feels weird. Also, Sarah runs like an idiot
Yeah, but she's.
when she's on her way to the magic shop. Her arms is flailing. It really gives me like Scary Movie vibes
Yeah.
when Cindy is running upset in the hallway. That's the scene that comes to mind. Yeah, she runs really stupidly.
The shopkeeper also reveals that Sarah's mother was a witch as well, who died at birth, you know, giving birth to Sarah. So Sarah escapes back home, but is followed by Nancy and Bonnie and Rochelle, who taunt her, fuck with her. You know, you see all sorts of
Mean, mean
all the
thing.
critters and bugs. You've got snakes, little rats, very well organized, cute rats. And then you
They make
have,
her think that her dad is dead on a flight.
yeah, they're like, your dad's dead, you know, turn on the news. Fucking bully her into the bathroom, turn the shower on when her clothes are on.
Yeah, that's fucked.
They leave the toilet seat up. Saw that.
There's also, did you notice in the bathroom, once everything goes away after like Nancy calls her pathetic, turns on the shower, which is the most cunty move that she does this whole movie, honestly.
Yeah.
There's like an incantation or writing on the bathroom wall. I never noticed that before either. That was new for me this watch, so I don't know if that's part of why she was seeing all these the gross critters that were running around.
So, like I said, they're all taunting her, telling her she's gonna kill herself. They're gonna frame her for killing Chris. She's like, I'm not having it. She runs upstairs and she's like, I'm gonna lay down in this room and I'm gonna fucking let's get some conjuring going.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Manon.
She's motivated now. She freaked out a little bit at first, got her shit together.
Took a breath.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm in my final girl form a little bit now. I've got this. I'm all ready to fight back. And fuck her and Manon. And Manon's pissed.
Yeah.
He's come to collect because he's like, hey, remember that fucking rule of things coming back in threes? Look at your face. Look at your fucking hair. Look at you, you fucking
But it doesn't really
clowns.
happen. Those are glamours. She just makes them see that.
I know. So, but it works. So, because they run off, they scurry away. And then you have this kind of final confrontation between Nancy and Sarah,
Which
which
feels
is
very
okay.
long.
Yeah, it's a little long.
Yeah. The back half of the movie, I think, has a lot you could cut a little shorter.
Sarah starts fucking with Nancy, giving her fucking little snake fingers and shit. Like,
Yeah, she got
ooh,
real
starts to
confident
the
real quick.
roaches like crawling out of like her sleeves and stuff, you know.
Gross.
Yeah, he's like, Manon's fucking mad. And he's, they're fighting. Manon's throwing furniture around. Just stormy, witchy shit going on left and right. So, you have this like other spell where she like disappears out of her clothing for a second. I was
Yeah,
like,
it's
is
kind
she
of
gonna
fun.
be, I was like, is she like running around naked somewhere?
Yeah.
Did she like leave her
I think
clothes?
she's just like, I don't, I, well, I was going to say she's invisible, but then the clothes would still be in the shape of her.
Right. So I
Yeah.
didn't get
It's
it.
just a
But
fun little trick.
yeah, Nancy's like, I'm not having it. Pulls up the knife, ready to stab her. Sarah's like, joke's on you. Fucking gonna kick you all the way down the hall.
I know. She's like, I've been doing my squats.
Even with, like, I know all the bugs and snakes and stuff were fake, but like all the furniture being thrown around and kicking her down the hallway and the glass shattering, all of this, like, all of that was true. So, like, when the dad comes home, he's like, what the fuck? He never says, like, what the fuck's going on in my house? What happened?
Yeah, clearly she didn't like press charges against these girls, maybe only Nancy, because maybe that's how she explained it, like Nancy attacked me.
Yeah, and then you have these like weird, like bad, like glass shattering, falling effects, like
Oh.
over the screen. That was really bad. I didn't get that.
Didn't age well.
But I guess that did it. I guess you just needed to just give her a concussion and a couple broken ribs, and we're good. We solved it. Because we go to, I guess, I don't think it's the next day. It might be sometime later.
I have no
I don't
idea.
know. When Bonnie and Rochelle come back and they're like, hey, sorry. But also, I bet you don't even have fucking powers anyway. Ha 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 ha. I
Yeah.
do like that Sarah's like, no, I get to use them sometimes just to show you fucking assholes, you know?
Yeah. No, I think she
I like it.
definitely still has like full powers. She's an
Oh,
actual
definitely.
witch, like, and she's
Yeah.
using it for the right ways and for the right reasons now.
Well, now she's like a full witch. So now she can do whatever she wants instead of like,
Yeah.
kind of a little bit to the left. But I also don't know like what constituted like Nancy being institutionalized.
I mean, it looks like she's doesn't really have a good hold on what's going on.
A
So
little
I don't
bit.
know if that was Sarah's doing, Manon's doing, or what, but I mean, it looks like she'd scratched at her face.
Because Sarah does that binding spell one more time on her and it works. Or
Yeah.
you're led to think that it works, right? But I don't know.
So maybe she was just ranting and raving, and they were like, Grace was like, I can't have any of this. I need to spend the rest of my $175,000.
Yeah. But that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The Craft.
The craft.
Looks like everything is doing okay. Everyone's doing all right at the end.
Yeah. I think
Smile less.
this movie does a decent job of just showing teenage girls fucking around with shit that they don't understand. And I think that's really fun. And I also think just the fickleness of their friendship is fun to watch as well. So like the newer craft, if you don't want me to spoil it, don't listen, but it's not good. The newer craft switches the narrative a bit and they like lock into that sisterhood and they're fighting against a singular force as a team. And it
Oh.
really takes away the specialness of the movie because I think that showing them being flawed human beings is way more interesting than them just having this ultimate sisterhood and like, you know, banning against whatever. I won't like spoil who or what, but you know, that is, yeah, it's ugh, it's terrible.
Did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
I think it covered my notes.
Yeah, me too.
I'd love to hear some taglines.
Believe it or not, for a movie from 1996, it only has one tagline.
Get crafty. That's
Ooh,
my.
that would have been a good one.
Would it though?
Witchcrafts. No, that's not what it is.
Witchcraft is your witchcraft.
They could have done so many things, and all we got was Welcome to the Witching Hour.
Oh,
And I don't
okay.
think that I've seen that on any of the movie posters.
No, I don't think I've ever, yeah.
Or any of the DVD covers or VHS covers, none of it.
Yeah.
So that's our
Yeah.
tagline.
There you go. Boo scores. I will let you go first.
Oh, you're gonna make me go first? Okay. This is really hard for me because I watched this movie a lot as a kid, really enjoyed it. I still really enjoy it. I think it's a great movie. I think it's pretty solid. It is a little long. And that's why I don't watch it often. The middle, like in between all of, you know, where Chris brings Parks with her, the attempted sexual assault, the party scene, all of it kind of drags really for a while. Like I just feel like there's a lot going on in this movie that didn't need to be so long. So I don't rewatch it a lot. But I do think it has a lot of nuance that you could interpret different ways with the relationships between these girls. I originally went into this giving it a 4, but I think I'm going to take it down to a 3.5, 3.5 booze.
That's great. And
How
fair.
about you?
Feruza.
Stupid.
It's so dumb. I'm sure she's like, oh, okay, I've heard that literally a million times since fucking kindergarten, you fucking idiot.
It's like a real original.
Yeah. She'd throw me out a window. So I didn't connect with this movie and have the nostalgia the same way that you do. That I think a lot of people do. And I think that's for a number of reasons. Like, you know, like I think I didn't, well, I watched the movie, enjoyed it. Like maybe because I'm a dude, I did not connect with them. I enjoyed these characters. And like I said, I totally understand. I'm like, oh no, I think fucking all those shitty people had everything coming to them. Not the witches, but you know, fucking Laura and Ray and Chris, like, fuck them. I get it. I'm like, I wanted to see them do some more shit and cause some more havoc. But also at the same time, it's funny where you're like, the movie is long, but it is 1 hour 40, which is pretty standard, but you're right, it feels long,
It
right?
feels like a 2-hour movie.
Even I like watching it, I was like, oh my God, am I gonna finish this in time to start? And then I'm like, oh, I guess the movie is only 1 hour 40. I was like, gosh, this is still fucking going. But yeah, I like this movie. I like the vibe. I think it's fun. I like the characters. I don't know if, and I guess I don't know. Like, I don't think you could like, I know this is kind of narrow, but I don't think you could talk about 90s witch movies without bringing this up, you
Absolutely
know?
not. You couldn't.
So cult classic. You still got a lot of heavy hitters. You got some industry legends. I think this is a fun movie. I'm gonna go right down the middle though and give it a three.
Yeah, I wonder. I've thought about this a lot. I feel like straight men are not the audience for this movie at all. And
But hey, little 9-year-old Kyle was like, I want to try this. I want to dip
yeah,
my toes
like,
in it. And then maybe
yeah.
I watched it and I was like, oh, I'm very straight, I think.
Yeah,
But
because it definitely feels like it caters to both a female or queer audience. Like that's who really resonates with this film, and that's where it got its cult following. So I think that it has a soft spot in my heart for that. It's not a perfect movie. I again take issue with a lot of the characters' decisions, but they are girls in high school fucking around with magic. So they're going to make bad choices, but I think it's solid, and I would recommend it to anyone who likes movies about witchcraft or witches in general. I think should definitely give it a watch.
oh yeah,
Yeah.
maybe this is where my I've dated a couple witchy girls and married to a pretty witchy woman currently.
Yeah.
I host a podcast with the Wicked Witch of the West Coast, so like that's where I'm like I feel like I've always gravitated towards this. And then also, yeah, I think it's a good cautionary tale for, don't be a fucking Chris,
Yeah.
because you don't know what she's doing in the woods with her friends. You're never gonna
Yeah.
know. So they could be coming up with
That's
some shit, having some pictures of
true.
you. Sometimes it turns cute. Sometimes it's just, freezing bras at sleepovers and shit. Next thing they know, they're playing stiff as a board, light as a feather and shit, and coming up with some spells. And they've got some pictures of you. You don't know where they came from or who took that picture. And whoo, oh no, just don't go
Well,
near any windows.
I think the other thing that is, fun is a light word, because I know that there are people who practice witchcraft and, it can be very spiritual for some people. I read a lot about it in high school. Like I had like a whole obsessive moment with it, and there's a lot of like beauty in it where it can be very spiritual but not religious, and it's very of the earth instead of like you can view it that way without having like a being like Manon or whatever it is. So that I think is very interesting. And that's what a lot of women like tie to that. So
Man is even in the
that's
name. Ugh.
yeah, that's one of the things that I don't know that like what the message was there, but they're like, oh, like let him like be inside you and he ruins everything that's ever been wrong with your life. And Sarah's like, that's not possible. And I was like, yeah, what is he, a trauma eraser? Like that's not how that works, especially if it's a man. That's the last thing that's gonna fix your problems. Come on now.
That's all I got on the craft. How about you?
Same.
Hell yeah. Take care of yourself. Men, if you're being dicks, don't do it. If you're doing it currently, maybe just stay away from windows, or second floors. And yeah. And then also, yeah, just fucking don't be
Don't
racist.
be, yeah, don't be
Fuck.
racist. Don't, definitely don't be racist.
I know. I hope that she just like, because they never show her having her hair back, right? So I hope she's just stuck
No.
with that.
No. That
I mean,
terrible wig that they put on her too. We didn't talk about that. Oh my gosh, when they run into her at the party. Oof. That wig is so terrible. I love it. Her family has more money than that. They could get her a better wig.
Robin Tunney was wearing a wig the whole time. And sometimes it looks okay, sometimes it does not look
Yeah,
okay.
that hairline does not look great in certain
Yeah.
scenes. You can tell when like the good hairdresser had her day off,
Yeah.
because there's scenes where it looks amazing, and then there's scenes where you're like, oh gosh, like who is doing this? Yeah.
Yeah. And that was because she shaved her head for Empire Records. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's all I got. Take care, everybody. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on The Craft. If this episode bewitched you, subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. You can find us on Instagram at 321GhostPod and give us a follow. We would love to hear from you in the comments. You could shoot an email to 321ghostpod@gmail.com to share any thoughts, questions, or request a movie you'd like to hear us chat about. Next week, we're kicking off February with 2007's Paranormal Activity. Thanks again for listening, and remember, if you're a racist bully, we'll make all of your hair fall out. 3, 2, 1, ghost.